scripture prior to Reuben's lesson is Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you."
One of the highlights we experienced during our trip to Brazil last March was a visit to Iguazu Falls, one of the natural wonders of the world, located in the boundaries of Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. On the way, we listened to a series of lessons by Brother Dan Owen on the kingdom of God. They were very impressive lessons, so I've decided that on November 7th, we'll be starting a series of studies on the kingdom of God. So this morning I'd like to speak and introduce that subject with the hope that you'll be encouraged, well, inspired to join us in that study. Again, starting November 7th. The word kingdom is found 162 times in the New Testament. As with most words, kingdom can be used in a variety of senses, depending upon the context, of course. The kingdom, kingdom of God, kingdom of God's dear Son, and kingdom of heaven are often used interchangeably. Understanding the kingdom, the nature of the kingdom, is of paramount importance. Such understanding has tremendous implications for our daily living. When we speak of the kingdom of God, we are tempted to think primarily in terms of a territory. However, kingdom means kingly power, sovereignty, dominion, rule, or authority. To speak of sovereignty is to speak of supreme power and freedom from external control. Our God is sovereign. There's no power that can rival God's power. We read in Isaiah 40:26, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing." And to speak of the dominion is to speak of absolute ownership on authority. Our God has dominion over all that was, is, and shall be. First Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord. And you exalt yourself as head over all." Additionally, Psalm 103, verses 19, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. And in Psalm 22, verse 28, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and the Lord's, and he rules over the nation. So, in a universal sense, we could think of the kingdom as God's kingly power, sovereignty, dominion, rule, and authority over all. However, this morning we're going to look at the kingdom in a more restrictive sense. Forgot to advance that. So in a more restrictive sense, though, the kingdom is God's spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who willingly submit to God's authority. Those who defy God's authority and refuse to submit to him are not part of the kingdom. In contrast, those who acknowledge the lordship of Christ and gladly surrender to God's rule in their hearts are part of the kingdom of God. We are those people. And grasping this concept helps us to better understand the church of Christ. Since the church consists of those who voluntarily come under the rule of Christ, Jesus the King, we are his subjects and are part of that kingdom. So, what is the kingdom of God? First, it is the fully realized rule of God in the future where all is perfect. It is heaven itself. Matthew chapter 25, verse 34. Jesus speaking of the judgment. He said, then the king will say to those on his right, come you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, 29, he said, but I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Again, in Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, forgot that one. Jesus said, I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is referring to that great messianic banquet with all the saints of the ages. Additionally, 2 Peter chapter 1, when Peter wrote on how to grow in the knowledge of Christ, he wrote this, now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, They render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Verse 10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. So he's talking about the rule of God in the future. In Acts chapter 14, during Paul's first missionary journey, he returned back to Lystra, Derbe, and Iconium, getting ready to appoint elders. And he wrote this, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith and saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. You know, sometimes we limit our concept of the kingdom to just the church. That would be a disservice to the word. Kingdom includes more than the church. Therefore, the first sense in which the term kingdom, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, is used as reference to the fully realized rule of God in the future, it is heaven itself. The next sense in which the term is used is what we are most familiar with, and that is, it is the church of Christ on earth. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus, speaking to Peter, said, I say to you that you, Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Here we see the connection between the church and the kingdom. Jesus gave the keys to Peter, keys of the kingdom of heaven. The word keys is a figure of speech which means the authority to open. So when Peter delivered his sermon on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were baptized, the church had its beginning. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Paul wrote that God rescued us from the dominion of Satan and transferred us to the kingdom of Christ, the church. In addition, Christ's kingdom parables recorded in Matthew 13 anticipated the establishment of the church. Jesus is referred to as king in several passages of the New Testament. And as king, he has a kingdom known as the church. We sing songs like, we worship the King. King of my life, I crown thee now. Jesus, my heavenly King, loves me, I know. So the second sense in which the term kingdom is used as reference to the church. The third sense, though, is what we'll be focused on our studies on Wednesdays. Third sense in which the kingdom is used is the personal rule of God in our lives. Our scripture reading that was read by Bob, when the Pharisees were asking Jesus, how would we know the kingdom is here? He answered in verse 20 and 21 of Luke chapter 17. Now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here, or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. Other versions render the phrase within you as among you or in your midst. There are two popular interpretations of Jesus' response in verse 21. One suggested meaning is that Jesus, as the embodiment of the kingdom, was saying that the kingdom was in their midst. The rule of God was being demonstrated in the ministry of Jesus. In other words, wherever Jesus is, the kingdom is present. The second suggested meaning is that Jesus was speaking of the kingdom as God's rule from within the heart of the obedient. This speaks to the matter of a person voluntarily accepting God's rule over his life and behaving accordingly. When we surrender our lives to Christ as our Lord, through obedience to the gospel, we enter into a saving relationship with him. He lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. He brings God's rule into our hearts, as we read in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant I'll make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I'll put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. And I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. In this way, Jesus is both the embodiment of the kingdom and the one who rules within our hearts. The concept of the kingdom being within us has tremendous implication for the church. Sadly, we live in an era in which the church has lost a lot of its luster. Popular culture deems the church as irrelevant, but it is comforting to know that our call to represent God's kingdom on earth is never left to our own strength. The Spirit works within produce the kingdom life to which God calls us. It is by his strength that we can live among others as citizens of the kingdom that is within us. In Matthew chapter 6, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, he said, pray then in this way. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, some members of the church say, you can't pray that because the kingdom is already here. Well, I would disagree. What is really the teaching here? It is a Hebrew parallelism where one says the same thing in two different ways. So when we pray, "Your kingdom come," we are actually asking God to rule over our life as we do His will. Kingdom come. How? Thy will be done. Same idea is expressed in Matthew 6:33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We are being commanded to seek the rule of God, His will, to the extent that we submit to His righteousness. When we limit our understanding of the kingdom to just the church, we fail to appreciate the rule of God in our lives. Let me illustrate. When the king commanded Daniel not to pray to God and to eat forbidden unclean food, having realized it was against God's will to do that, right there and then, the rule of God in Daniel's life was real. Another illustration. Kevin had a 9:30 tea time, say at the Los Serranos Country Club. On his way, Kevin noticed a couple with two children on the side of the road seemingly needing help because of a flat tire and showing some distress. Kevin thought about the round of golf he had scheduled for quite a while. Time to relax. He needed to play the round. But then he remembered Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As therefore you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. So Kevin stopped to help the couple, called AAA to fix the flat tire, give them $20 for gas. Right there and then, the rule of God was real in Kevin's life. One more illustration. Jim and Mary were having marital problems. It seems that they have been at each other's throat every time Jim comes home from work. Jim argued that Mary did not understand him and doesn't want to listen to him. At work, Jim has gotten closer to Sue, who had time to be sympathetic and understanding. One afternoon after work, Jim was tempted to ask Sue out to dinner. But then he remembered Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, when Paul wrote, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself for him." So Jim told himself, "What am I doing?" So he rushed home and along the way bought a bouquet of flowers, wrote a card expressing his love for Mary. Right there and then, the rule of God was real in Jim's life. It can be intimidating for us to consider the implications of the kingdom being within us, even as we are in the midst of non-believers. As we live and function within our various circles of influence, we must remember the God we represent. His rule in our lives need to be evident to all we encounter, especially those with whom we spend meaningful time. Our moral and ethical behavior needs to reflect the kingdom standards that was taught by Jesus. Let me ask you, before your baptism, when you made that great confession, "I believe that Christ is the Son of God," was that a confession simply of a fact? Or was that a commitment you made to the Lordship of Christ? You know, we sing the song, "Living for Jesus." And in the chorus, we read this, "O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee. For thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone." So when we made that confession, we are saying to Jesus, "You are my King. You are my Lord." So this morning, we've looked at three senses in which the term kingdom, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God's dear Son is used. First, it is the fully realized rule of God in the future, which is heaven itself. Secondly, it is the church of Christ on earth. And thirdly, it is the personal rule of God in our lives. The fact is that God rules. So again, once again, I invite you to join us on Wednesdays as we study more about the kingdom. If you are not yet in the kingdom of God, you are missing the blessings that are within the kingdom. So I invite you this morning as we stand and sing, submit yourself to the rule of God and be part of that kingdom. So let's stand and sing.
I bring my sins to thee, the sins I cannot count, that thou may cleansed be in thy wants open found. I bring them, Savior, all to thee, the burden is too great for me, the burden is for me. I bring my grief to thee, the grief I cannot tell. Nowhere shall need it be. Thou knowest all so well. I bring the sorrow laid on me, all suffering sake. Suffering Savior, all to thee. My life I bring to thee, I would not be my own. Oh, Savior, let me be thine ever, thine alone. my Savior and my King.
Will you now turn to song number 761? Following the singing of the first and last verse of this song, Brother Ed Bales will come forward, acknowledge anyone that's turned in any cards, and then dismiss us in prayer. Sweet are the promises, kind is the word. Dear far than any message man ever heard. Pure was the mind of Christ, sinless I see. He the great example is and pattern for me. Where he leads I follow, follow all the way. Jesus every day. List to his loving words, come unto me. Weary, heavy laden, there is sweet rest for thee. Trust in his promises, faithful and sure. Lean upon the Savior and thy soul is secure. Follow all the way. Where he leads, I'll follow. Follow Jesus every day.
Don't have any cards passed in, but Cece has a son visiting with us. And
Dave.
So welcome, Dave, with us. And on the kingdom, what Reuben preached on this morning, I had a discussion with him about that, and I realized I need to know more about what the kingdom really is. And I do urge you to come on Wednesday night and be a part of that study. So thank you for that sermon, Reuben. Let's have a prayer. Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this day, and we thank you, Lord, for the church, which is your kingdom, and the kingdom within us, Lord, that we strive to do your will here, that we can gain the eternal kingdom, the kingdom in heaven with you. We want to pray for those that are sick, pray for those that are traveling, Lord, and we pray for the congregation and pray for the world at large. There are many things going on that are disturbing, Lord, and we just pray for us as your children, Lord, that we don't let these things deter us, but that we reach out to those that are lost out there, and that we just don't leave our Christianity in these walls, but that we share it with others that are out there lost. Thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for this gathering. And we pray, Lord, until the next appointed time, that you bless and keep us until the next time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.